Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Time to catch up, as we do once a month, with Alistair Spence-Clark from Spence Clark & Co. Morning, Alistair.
Good morning, Bill.
Good to talk to you as always. And there's been a lot of talk about things involving Gibraltar and Spain recently, but there's one that I hadn't heard of, and this is about a tax treaty. So let's start with that one.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we're going to talk about income tax because that's the big thing at the moment. But a little bit of news first. And the first really important thing, actually, Gibraltar and Spain have a tax treaty that has now gone into force. The two parliaments, Spanish and British Parliament, has put it into law. And this is amazing because Gibraltar is now no longer a tax haven. It's fully legitimate.
Wow.
And that's good. Of course, it's also inconvenient for some people.
As my old gran used to say, Alistair, there'll be a few jackets hanging on shaky nails right now.
That's a good one. So what we've got is, anyone who has anything to do with Gibraltar needs to be careful and needs to know what the new rules are. So I'm not going to go into those rules because some of them are deeply technical.
Right.
But they affect individuals and they affect companies.
Okay. So to be continued then, but just to be aware that it exists.
Yeah. I'll be putting an analysis of the tax treaty on the website, but I just haven't got time at the moment with all the income tax work. So I'll be doing that in the next few weeks.
No worries. And if your company has failed, that's bad enough. Yeah. But then you have the tax man coming after you.
Yeah, this is really nasty, actually.
Yeah.
We're in a period where a lot of businesses are going bust.
Yeah.
And in the past, it's been possible just sort of to, put the tax files, put the bookkeeping into a box and throw it away, let the rats eat it.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore because the tax office has doubled its efforts to sue directors personally if the company they've been managing has not paid all its taxes or its fines. Now, this has always been a kind of an area where the tax man could have come for people, but they've never really bothered except in really large and, abusive cases.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're going for everyone. They're going for anyone, in fact, who has a company that owes money and the company has gone bust. And I'm talking about even companies that are being properly liquidated, even in those cases, which is really excessive. They're doing that as well. Now, the problem is that, the tax man is very hungry for money at the moment, as you can imagine.
Mm.
The problem is that, yes, you will win the case eventually, but in the meantime, you've got to pay a lawyer, you're going to be out of pocket big time, it's going to be massively stressful. So what I'm saying to people is, for goodness sake, do not pretend that your company can just be left to lie there in the mud, forgotten. You've got to wrap up the company's affairs properly. And that means filing accounts. It means filing your last tax returns, and it means sometimes applying to the court for liquidation in the proper formal way.
Right.
And if you don't do that, and the taxman comes for you, you're going to find it very hard to defend yourself.
Wow, that's all you need, frankly. Okay.
It's not nice. And it is shocking to have this sort of problem at this time.
Yeah.
My tax association, the IDAF, is taking action to try and get government to actually prevent the excessive abuses. Where people have been irresponsible or fraudulent, fair enough, you know? They've defrauded the tax man, or they've been irresponsible. If they haven't been irresponsible, and the business has gone bust for perfectly sensible reasons, then they shouldn't really be having to make suffer this.
No, okay. Absolutely. Okay, so the big dates to stick in the diary then are the income tax returns.
Yeah, we start filing on the 7th of April, and it runs out until the 30th of June. So we got plenty of time, almost 3 months, which is just as well, mm-hmm. Because people do have the habit of leaving things to the last moment. And what I'm going to say to people is do not leave your tax filing to the 30th of June, because it becomes a lot more complicated if you file after the 25th of June. It right. becomes more complicated to pay the tax. Everything becomes a mess. So guys out there, please do not leave your tax returns until the last moment. You can start getting them organized now, and the sooner you get them in, the better.
Okay. Now, the interesting thing about that statement is that one would assume, I know the answer you're going to give me here, that the accountant who's doing your tax return would actually gently remind you that you ought to be doing this.
Yes, indeed. But it doesn't always happen.
No.
We religiously, because otherwise we suffer with people doing things at the last moment, we religiously send out reminder emails in March. In fact, we send them out in January because we have to do the M720 as well. So we send out emails to all our clients around about in the last few weeks, really.
Yeah.
And we're saying to people, can you get organized, please? Because we would like to spread our work out as much as possible and do things carefully, calmly, and make sure that everything is 100%. And to help our clients, giving them advice. You know, if you're rushed to do things at the last moment, you can't be very creative.
You've heard the show then.
no, Bill. Your show is always beautifully.
Oh, dear. You just organized. Know that I can cut you off at a moment's notice, Alistair. It's just pure fear in your voice.
You just have to ask nice questions.
Exactly. So in terms of the people who are exempt, now this Spain, unlike other countries, are always required to file one unless you don't have to file one, right?
Yeah. I mean, most people, when they come to Spain from countries like the UK where they have PAYE systems on pensions and all the rest of it. So look at you sideways when you say, well, you're going to have to file an income tax return.
Yes.
So why? I've never had to do that in my life.
Yeah.
In Spain, you do have to unless you're exempt. And the exemption rules are on our website, so they're quite complicated.
Yeah.
I'll go through them quickly now. But just for everyone out there, they're on our website. And I've tried to make it as simple as possible. It's not simple. You know, there are a couple of headline things that people hear, like, oh, you're exempt if your income is below 22,000. Well, yes, except, okay? Yeah. The only absolute exemption is if your income is less than 1,000 euros. That is the only absolute exemption.
So not even death can escape it, obviously. And quite the opposite. Yeah.
No, death has to be filed. Income tax on death, absolutely.
Oh,
so anyway, I'll just go through it. The 22,000 applies to employees of Spanish companies.
Yeah.
And only if you have one single employer during the year.
Right.
Okay. If you have several employers, and the several employers could be a job that, you know, you might have been employed in January and then the second job was for the rest of the year, the first job, or should I put it, the second job, should not exceed 1,500 euros. So if your total employment income is 22,000 euros, i.e. 20,500 from one company and 1,500 from another, then you are still exempt. Mm. The other company, the other employer, could be the social security system. And we are in the year of the EFTE, and where people have been receiving social security payments and amounts. Or not. Very good.
Didn't their machine blow up or something a couple of months ago?
I have to say to you, I have given up following the story on ERTEs because it's so shameful.
Yeah.
All we can do is just make sure that we file everything correctly for our clients and hope that the government performs its function of paying people.
I thought it was quite ironic that allegedly the machine got hacked, which was dealing with the payments. And I could just imagine it's just the frustrated people who've decided that they're not going to get it any other way than by hacking the actual machine itself.
Well, I think you could say that's just an excuse for incompetence. How can they allow systems to be hacked?
Indeed.
Anyway, so if you've received ERTE payments of over 1,500, you are also required to file a tax return. So that's the first one. The second one is the 14,000 rule. 14,000 applies to any form of employment, including employment or pensions from the UK. So if your pension from the UK is less than 14,000 euros, theoretically, if you don't have any other substantial income, you don't have to file.
Right. Okay?
Because obviously, salary or pension payments from the Spanish system come with deduction of tax, mm-hmm. whereas the UK system obviously does not deduct tax because the UK does not deduct tax for Spain.
Yeah.
What else? If you have investment income, which produces less than 1,600 euros, that also could be, if that's the only income you have, you would also be exempt from filing. Okay.
Okay.
Now, it gets more and more esoteric. So I'm going to stop there because honestly, that is complicated enough.
And with the numbers you mentioned above, Alistair, they are earnings as opposed to, well, there are no profits, I guess, if you're employed, are there? So it's
self-employed, for example, there is no limits. Self-employed, you file, that's it. Doesn't matter what your income is. If you're self-employed, you have to file. These exemptions only apply to people who are either employed or receive pensions or something of that nature or have a bit of investment income.
Okay.
Now, this program is dedicated to expats, and one of the problems that expats have got is to prove that they're resident in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need to prove that you're resident in Spain when you sell your house if you want to claim the exemption from capital gains tax.
Right.
You need to prove that you're resident in Spain if you're renewing your TIE, your residencia, after the initial 5 years. The immigration office has got the rights to look at your tax files, which it does, online, and if it sees that you haven't been filing income tax returns, it may say, you haven't been filing. Where have you been? You haven't observed the law. And one of the conditions for the renewal of your temporary residencia, your five-year TIE, mm-hmm. is you have observed tax law. So the easiest way to deal with this, I would submit, is to file a tax return, even if you're exempt. It doesn't cost very much. And then you know for sure that your file is perfect.
I see.
Okay, so that is what I would recommend to people who are on a 5-year temporary residencia, which is many people who have applied recently.
Yeah,
And to be able to prove without question that they comply. The reason I suggest this is that it's such a hassle dealing with the funcionarios when they think they've got you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a gotcha. Oh, you haven't filed. You're not entitled to renew your residencia. Then you've got to fight with them to prove somehow that you're exempt. So what are you going to do? How do you argue with an immigration funcionario that you're exempt from filing an income tax return? They don't even understand income tax law. So my advice is, if you want an easy life, file a tax return, even if it's exempt.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. And what about the people who maybe did file a tax return before they got residencia for whatever reason it may have been?
Oh, that's fine. Okay. I mean, people have been filing tax returns. The residencia rules and the tax return rules are completely separate.
But the point I'm making is, let's assume that you got your residency this year, but you were already here last year and you filed a tax return. So does that stand you in good stead for your 5-year renewal then, even though
it
was before?
Yes, it does.
Right.
It does, yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically they're gonna look at your file and say, have you complied with Spanish tax law? Yes, tick. That's the end of it. Move on to the next one.
Okay.
There will be a lot of people in. I mean, we don't know. We don't know what the immigration office is going to do. Mm. It says in the law that if you haven't been in Spain for more than 6 months in a calendar year, i.e., you can avoid paying tax in Spain, you're not entitled to renew your residencia, or in fact, they're entitled to take it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely do not know how that's going to be done.
Right. Okay.
It's a new world.
Yes.
Anyway. Now, the second subject is also a very popular one, and it's to do with pensions.
Rightio.
So, again, I put an article up on the website, which is, when is a pension not a pension? Okay?
Okay.
Only in the esoteric world of tax consultants you have stupid questions like that.
Yes.
Anyway, but it's true. Okay, so I'm going to quickly run through the different types of pension. The first one is a state pension. Well, a state pension is a pension. There's no question about that. And Spain recognizes that a state pension in the UK is the same as a state pension in Spain.
Okay.
Okay. Or Germany or wherever. The second type of pension, which is very easy to deal with, is a pension paid by a former employer. Now, that, again, there's no question. It's a pension.
Right.
It says so. It's exactly what it says on the label.
Okay.
Now it gets more complicated. a pension paid by a foreign government employer is my next heading. Mm. And the thing is that if you have been working as a nurse by the, you know, DHSS, a teacher,
mm-hmm.
A rubbish collector for right. for a town hall, a civil servant in the Foreign Office, anything like that, or its equivalent in any other country, then the probability is that you will not pay tax on that income in Spain. Mm-hmm. Now, why? It's a pension, there's no question, but what we have are things called tax treaties between countries. And in 99% of the tax treaties, the government that is paying the pension reserves the right exclusively to tax that income.
Okay.
So therefore, if you are receiving a nurse's pension or a teacher's pension or police pension in the UK, the UK will charge you PAYE on that, and that is correct.
Mm.
Spain does not have the right to tax you on that income.
Okay.
However, the way Spain deals with it, which is completely correct, although it didn't used to be the case 10 years ago, is that they say, okay, yeah, we can't tax you, but we can say you've used up your personal allowances. We can say you've used up your lowest rate of tax rate, which is the more or less 20%. And we will tax you, yes, on your other income, but starting at the higher level.
Oh, sneaky.
Yeah, now that upset a lot of people when it came in 2014, UK Brits, because the tax treaty prior to 2014 did not have that condition in, and Spain literally could not tax it at all. They couldn't do anything with it. Since then, they've been able to treat it in the particular way that I just explained.
Right. Okay. Understood.
Now, foreign private pension schemes.
These are the ones with the brilliant acronyms, aren't they? SIPs and QRUPs and QNUPs and all kinds of nonsense.
Well, the American ones are Roth IRAs, 401ks.
IRAs! I've never come across that one before. Wow.
Yeah. They're basically retirement schemes where they have some tax-favourable treatment.
Okay.
And basically, the way the Spanish legislation is framed, these are not pensions. And in fact, the reason they're not pensions is because Spain has two types of retirement scheme. One is called a plan de pensiones, mm-hmm. which is what it says, a pension scheme. And you get tax credits if you invest in them. Not much, but it's something. And then you have plan de jubilación. Now, jubilación and pension is more or less the same word in Spanish. It's not quite the same, but they have a similar context. And a plan de jubilación is effectively the way that all these foreign pensions are actually treated.
Okay? Right.
So how does a plan de jubilación treat it? Well, the first and most important thing, and this applies to SIPs, QROPs, and all the rest of it, is that you're not treated as though you have earned income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Spain has two tax systems, one for earned income, salaries, pensions, and things like that, and then it has the unearned income, investment income system. And the tax rates are completely different. One starts at around about 20% and finishes at just about 48, 50, depending on which part of Spain you're in. And the investment scheme, that's for employment, the investment tax scheme starts at 19% and finishes at 26%. So the tax rates they start at the same level, but they max out much, much lower. So that makes Spain very attractive for people living on investment income. And QROPs and SIPs are treated as investment income.
Right.
Because it's like a plan de jubilación. So how are you actually taxed on that? Well, there are a number of... Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Absolutely, yes.
I've got a lot of interference on that. Okay. Anyway.
That'll be the CIA or somebody after you. Yeah,
it's the tax office checking me up. Okay. What happens with... Let's take a lump sum withdrawal from a SIP. You take some money out. The question is, what are you taking out? You're not taking out income. You're taking out capital and income. Because what you did is you saved money in your pension scheme. And when you take that money out, the money you put in is not regarded as income. It's only the growth of the investments, effectively, that you're treated as taking out income.
Okay.
So that's one way. The lump sum or drawdowns or withdrawals, depending on how you want to call them, are basically taxed on that basis. We look at the capital gain that is produced by comparing the amount you put in with the amount you're taking out. The difference is the profit, and we pay tax on the profit at the lower rates of 19 to 26%.
Okay.
Now, it's quite complicated. In fact, it's very complicated. okay, we have to write, you know, complex financial models to actually calculate the tax.
Yeah.
Okay. Not easy. The alternative, and this is possible in SIPs, QROPs, and all the rest of it, is you say to your pension administrator, look, I don't like the way the Spanish tax this. How can I have it as an annuity? Can I have my investment savings as an annuity? Mm-hmm. Trustee, administrator of pension scheme says, no problem at all. How would you like it, sir or madam?
Yep.
And you say, well, give it to me in a five-year annuity. I'll just take out $10,000 a year for 5 years and we'll leave the rest for another day. Now, if you take out a five-year annuity from your pension scheme, you are taxed, according to the Spanish tax system, as having received 12% income. So if you take out $10,000 a year, you're only taxed on $1,200. Mm-hmm. Now, the tax rate on that is 19%. So we're talking about having a tax rate which is just over 2%. So when you take out your $10,000, you're paying just over 2% tax. Ah. So one of your ways of receiving money from your SIP, et cetera, is by organizing what are called temporary annuities.
Hmm. Well, it's an interesting question. As we're running out of time, I'm going to take us straight onto a question from one of our listeners, John Senior, who wrote in this morning, which actually is spot on for this. Only income at present is income from a SIP. When withdrawing money from a UK pension SIP, what rate of tax should I be paying in Spain on, say, €20,000 per annum? I'm 59 years old.
Okay, right. Quick thoughts. I can't tell you exactly because I don't know how much money you put into it.
Right.
But let me make a quick assumption. If you're taking 20,000 out, let's imagine that that fund is 50% the money you put in and 50% investment growth over the years. So basically, of the 20,000, 50% is profit, which is 10,000. Mm. Okay? Does that make sense to mm-hmm. you, Bill?
It does.
Right. So now you got, if your only income is that 10,000 profit from your SIP, you're entitled to your personal allowance of 5,550, which then leaves you with 4,450 taxable income.
Okay.
Now we know that this is investment income, so we apply 19%, which then produces, I think, about €900 tax, more or less. Mm-hmm. If we then compare that €900 to the 20,000, it's about 4.5% tax.
Right.
So as a rule of thumb, that's probably worth remembering. It's going to be around about 4 or 5%, assuming that half of the money that you're taking out is money you actually put in the first place.
Got it.
I hope that works for you, John.
Yeah. Well, John can always give you a call, if not, and that's a very timely position to tell us how John can do that and our other listeners.
I just wanted to say that John has to make the declaration.
Right.
Even though the income is quite low, he has to make, even if it's below 20,000, he has to make the declaration because actually it's €4,450 of investment income. And as I explained earlier, anything over 1,600, you must file a tax declaration.
Yes.
So how do you find us? Well, okay, that's pretty easy. You can find us on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
SpenceClark.com.
Fantastic.
And you can phone us anytime, 95-282-2943.
Brilliant.
Just to tell people, you know, we're just a firm of chartered accountants, so there's nothing threatening about us. We're very happy to help people over the phone on simple stuff. If you're not sure about your exemption situation, whether you've got to file a tax return or not, you can always put in a call to us and we'll tell you that over the phone.
Brilliant. Am I being too simplistic to assume that what you were just referring to, the plan de jubilation, actually literally translates as the plan of jubilation?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's magnificent.
You're full of jubilation for having retired.
That's just magnificent, nice, isn't it? What a lovely phrase. I will leave you on that lovely thought, Alistair. We'll speak again next month, same time. All the best to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
One season's free.